today on Living on Every Word.
Supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, Christian love. You're to supply in your faith these seven qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ.
When we enter into a partnership with someone, there's an understanding about what each partner will supply to the task at hand, and so it is with our faith. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher discusses our partnership with God and what we bring to that partnership in part three of our series, Genuine Faith.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice, to those, verse 1, who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Genuine faith will secure a life change. It'll secure a security and a certainty about the future in this life and in the life to come. That's what genuine faith does, according to this passage of Scripture. And he says that happens because you believe in these wonderful promises of God, that He has granted us everything concerning life and godliness, how to live a life that is godly before God. He has granted us these promises. And he says, listen, He's granted them to you so that you might partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Genuine faith secures a great change in your life by believing the promises of God. We saw that last week. This week, I want us to look at verse 5. Because in verses 5 through 11, he says, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, Christian love. Genuine faith secures a great change in your life through active participation in the purposes of God. What does that mean? It means that you and I have a part in our Christian life. You and I have a part. God has this part. This part came to begin in my life, in your life, when we received this faith by the divine will of God. By God's purposes, He empowered us to believe. He provided the Spirit, provided the promises. He provided everything that you needed to believe. But then you have a part. That's what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature. I am partaking with God. God has invited me to Himself. And inviting me, I get to join Him in seeing the work of God accomplished in my life. What do you think it means to believe or to repent? And when you look at this passage, he says there are seven qualities that you are to supply to your faith, that you are to take responsibility for, qualities that are actually already given to you that you are to supply. When you look at this passage in chapter 5, notice what it says. He says, for this very reason, since you have everything you need to live godly, everything you need to walk in victory, everything you need to be sure of your salvation, everything you need to live a life of abundance that Christ has promised, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, you supply these things. It means you add on your part with great urgency, with great earnestness and eagerness. You're to supply in your faith these seven qualities, these seven characteristics, these seven natures of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to this word supply, it's a very, very rich word. In classical Greek, this is a theatrical term. The root of that word, we get choreography. But in classical Greek, in theatrical terms, when there was a play to be put on, there were three people or three sets of people involved in putting together this play. The first was the poet. He's the one who wrote the play. He wrote the script. Then there's the state. The state supplies the place, provides the arena, the venue of the play. And then there was a guy called the choreographer or the chorus leader. And he was this wealthy patron that took his resources, took his money, took his talent, and he supplied everything necessary to make that script come alive. He's the chorus leader. He's the equipper of the script so that the script can do its thing. It's also used when a king or a ruler was putting together warships. They'd have these guys who were also called chorus leaders, but instead of equipping for the theater, they would equip the ships with all the weapons and all the things necessary for the war. And he says this, "You be the chorus leader of your faith." That's what he says. You supply these characteristics to your faith. You choreograph this script, this destiny toward Christ-likeness. You're the guy, you're the woman, you're the one that you're going to take these qualities that absolutely God's given you already, but you're going to work them out in your life. You're going to make sure that these things are being produced in your life as you chorus lead your faith. As you see the script of your life unfolding as you become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. These qualities are already been given to you. They're there. But you know, let's say that I'm an equipper of ships and I buy all that's necessary for the ship and I put it in storage. And I've got it in storage and all that's mine, that's all that stuff that I'm going to put in the ship, but I never equip the ship. I never take those out of storage and outfit the ship. They're there. I have them. They're mine. But what use are those qualities? What use is that equipment in a storage shed? And that's what happens with so many people. God has given you all these things to supply to your faith, and they're in storage somewhere. God says, you go to that storage room and you pull those out and you supply them to your faith. I've given you the power. I've given you the command. I've given you everything you need to see that these qualities are working in your life, working in your marriage, working in your family, working in your church, working in every area of your life. I've given you everything. Supply to your faith these qualities. Be the chorus leader. Be the outfitter of your faith. God has a part, you have a part. You see this all through Scripture. Keep your place there and go to Hebrews, if you would. Just a few pages back, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I think this is a very appropriate passage of Scripture because in verse 11, he's been talking about all these men and women of faith who have gone before us. They're witnesses of the grace and the faith of God and what faith is supposed to look like. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. These are witnesses of people who have gone before us, who have said, this is what faith looks like. We have a cloud of witnesses that supplied their faith with all the qualities of Christ and walked it out so that when you had a Noah, by faith, he builds the ark. He supplies in his faith what he needs to supply. And he's saying, listen, all these folks are witnesses and they're testifiers that faith works, that faith is alive, that faith is active. And so since we have all these folks that have gone before us, let us also, like they, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that's easily entangling us, and we run with endurance the race set before us, and we fix our eyes on Jesus. Now watch, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What's God's part? God's part is he birthed faith in you. You know what his other part is? He's going to perfect the faith. First, He authors it, and he's going to perfect it. And what am I going to do? I'm going to join him in this race, and I'm going to lay aside every sin and every encumbrance that entangles me, and I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus, and I'm going to endure like Jesus endured. His part, your part, supplying to your faith. What are the things that we are to supply? Go back to 2 Peter, and we'll look at four qualities of Christ that you're to supply. Notice. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. Supply moral excellence. What is moral excellence? Well, there's not many times in Scripture that speak of this word. There's only about four times. But it's rich in classical Greek usage. Historically, it came to mean a distinction in someone's field. And so it was used to say that this person applied in his life to become the very best that God asked him to be. It also came to mean the God-given power and ability to perform heroic deeds, whether they were militarily, athletically, or literary. That this was the God-given power that God had given you to perform in your life what you're supposed to perform. And of course, in the Christian aspect of what Peter's saying, that you have this power of God, you have this ability in you to do and present your very best to God. It's an attitude that says, this is so important, this is such a passion in my life, and I've got this God-given ability that God has given me to do the acts and the deeds, the heroic deeds that God has called us to participate in. The word became synonymous with three words. First one is righteousness, the second is power, and the third is glory. Isn't that interesting? The righteousness of God, right? The power of God, the glory of God. This word, when he says to supply, to outfit your faith with moral excellence, means that you're going to apply yourself with the God-given power to be the very best believer that God has asked you to become. That's what it means. It means that you are a virtuous man, a virtuous woman. It's not just a morality issue of being pure, but it has to do with all your life. For instance, excellence in the home, the virtuous woman. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, if you would. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm sorry. Chapter 31, verse 10. An excellent wife. The God-given ability to do heroic deeds as a wife. We need this divine power in our lives to live the life that God's called us to live in the home. And so he says, an excellent wife who can find. Her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax, works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field, she buys it, and from her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength, she makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good, and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, because all her household are clothed with scarlet. In other words, she's a woman that is equipped well her home. It's a man who equips well his home. The physical needs, the spiritual needs, the emotional needs. We outfit our faith, we outfit our life, we outfit our homes with these kinds of qualities. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders in the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles at the future. Let me ask you, are you smiling at the future? I love that thought. Smile at the future. Why? Because genuine faith will give you a great future. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but guess what? You excel them all. An excellent wife excelling above all. This is what this word has connotations to. It is where I give my very, very best to the job that God has given me to do. It means that God's power is in my life to see wonderful things accomplished in my life. Excellence in the home. Or, listen, just in whatever you do. Just however you live. Look at the next passage on the screen. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is the power of God in your life to accomplish the things that God wants to accomplish through you. It's how I participate with my great God. It's what I supply. And then he says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Right? Whatever you do, do it not as to men. Ephesians 6, 7. With goodwill, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Listen, make sure your faith is coming to life by deciding to supply a focused effort, a moral energy into a life lived well for God. That's what moral excellence is. But not only do you supply moral excellence, but you are to supply knowledge. You are to know. You are to understand. This word is a very simple word. It's just the pursuit of the information about God, pursuit of knowing about Him, knowing about Christ, knowing about how you live. There's another word for it, illumination, that you pursue an illumination of how I'm supposed to live. The information that God gives me through His Word to learn, to discern between what is right and what is wrong, to have the ability to discern good choices and bad choices. How can I live an excellent life if I don't know? So I've got to supply to my moral excellence this knowledge. Now there's a couple of things that we do here. What do we do? Well, to know God and to know about Him and know the right choices, I've got to get in the Word of God. I've got to study the Word of God. That's just the bottom line. To pursue it, I have to study. I have to study God through His Word. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. And what is it that we need to know? I mean, if I'm studying to know Christ, what specific things am I looking for to add to my moral excellence, to add that to my faith? What do I need to know? Go to Colossians chapter 1, if you would. Colossians chapter 1, and you'll notice that you are to know the will of God. Isn't that interesting? There's this desire of God to know His will. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul is telling the Colossians, listen, we've heard of your faith. We've heard of your love. We've seen what's happened when you heard the word of truth. We've seen what happened when the gospel came to you, how it's bearing fruit and increasing. We've heard of it. We understand that God has poured His grace about you. We see all the things that God's doing. And for this reason, verse 9, since the day we've heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What does he say? I want you to know what my will is, what God's will is for your life. Why? So that you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know what's a bad choice. You know what's a good choice. This is what he wants you to know so that you'll please him in all respects, that you'll bear fruit in every good work. You'll increase in the knowledge of God. You'll be strengthened with power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of life. He's praying, oh, I pray that you would know the will of God. I pray that you would know that in the moment, in the absolute total moment of distress or temptation, or even in the moment of great and wonderful times, you'll know how to act. You'll know how to respond. You'll know how to live. You'll know what to say. Wow. I need knowledge. But knowledge is fruitless if it's not acted upon. That's why he says, to your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge by studying the Word, and in your knowledge, self-control. Self-control is the ability to do the things that you know you need to do to live an excellent Christian life. Self-control. One commentator says self-control is holding in your passions and desires. It means to master your moods rather than being controlled by your moods. How many of you are controlled by your moods? Wow. None of you. What a great church. Things that have control of us that don't need to have control over us. It's to master the evil inclinations, the appetites, whether it's food issues or anger issues or holding in your tongue or being slow to speak and quick to listen. We're to allow none of those things to control us. It means submitting to God and rejecting the evil responses that just want to come out of that lower nature. You ever had a response that just is right here and you just, man, your flesh just wants it to come right out? You ever been there? No, you haven't? Man, another great church. Yeah. Can you meet me in my office? I need some counseling. I do. We're driving back from Dallas, John Ann and Ashlyn, and this guy cuts me off. Yeah, he's on the exit. He shouldn't cut me off. And, you know, I let him know that, and I honked my horn. He passed by. He had a cross on the back. It had axe on the back. And we started laughing, and John Ann said, "Don't laugh. That could be you." That could be you. We're laughing. Here's this believer and preacher that he don't know is honking his horn at him. Well, we're going out. I don't think anything of it. And I happened to pass him. And he puts on his horn. He honks at me. And Ashlyn goes, "He just honked at you." And I slow down. I roll down my window. And I think, man, that guy's got a sticker on his thing. So I go, "Yeah, one way Jesus." And he's trying to talk to me. And John Ashton said, I think he was saying, "Hey, I listened to you on the radio." That's why I don't have stickers on the back of my car. Amen. And you know, the point of this was, it was about a quarter of a mile, and this thing came over me, and I did it to provoke the brother, provoking the brother. Self-control. And this is the thought. I gave you self-control when I gave you Jesus. I gave you knowledge. I gave you everything you needed to know to acquire the knowledge that you need to live the life. I've given you power. I've given you the ability and the power to do excellent exploits for the kingdom of God. They're in your life. The question is, will you supply them? Will you outfit to your faith this excellence, this knowledge, this self-control, things that should not be coming out of our mouths, even though they're there, to get a grip of our emotions by the power of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ? And then he says, listen, not only do you add self-control to your knowledge, but you need to endure endurance. This is the most important quality. Enduring. It means that you don't quit. It means that you keep going. That no matter how bad the circumstances are in your life, you keep believing. You keep hoping. You keep putting your trust in God. And it's not just some wringing your hands waiting for something good to happen. No, it's a blazing hope that God is going to come through in my life, come through in my heart, and accomplish the very purposes that we're looking at accomplishing in the first place. Becoming excellent all that we do. We endure. We persevere. We walk in patience. Whether it's patience in trials. It's this ability that I remain true in Christ in the midst of the circumstances, the trials that are difficult. I'm looking for the kingdom. I'm looking to be conformed in His image. And I know that He's coming. I know that He's here. I know that He's worked. And I'm just going to endure. And folks, it's not just gritting your teeth and sweating. Although there's times that we do grit our teeth and sweat. But it's this confidence in God that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. And I endure. I persevere. You look at Scripture and you look at all the places where they didn't endure. When maybe they could have just waited another day, another moment, another 15 minutes, another 20 minutes, another 30 minutes, and then God comes through. We see it over and over in Scripture. We don't give up. We don't give up in our marriages. We don't give up on our children. We have this hope that we endure. And we don't get mad at God. We don't quit in our faith. We keep believing. We keep hoping. We keep anticipating. To that self-control, I'm going to be patient. Patient in the trials. I want to ask you, are you enduring? Do you have a history in your life where there was something in your heart struggle that might have lasted a year, 2 years, 3 years, and you endured through it, and then God dealt with you in such a marvelous, wonderful way? I want to tell you, yes, we have. And you're blessed because you didn't stop. You didn't stop believing. You didn't stop trusting. You didn't stop. You kept on going. Yeah, you might have tripped up here and there. But your eyes remain fixed. The author and perfecter of your faith. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll close with this morning. I think one of the most descriptive illustrations of living an excellent life before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know, verse 24, that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Run in such a way that you would win. Live your life in excellence. Get all the knowledge you need to live that life. Practice the self-control and endure through it, just like these athletes do. They run in such a way that they may win. Not just at the race time, but what it took to prepare for the race time. Because everyone who's competing in the games, they're exercising self-control in all things. They're eating what's right. They're getting up. They're taking care of their bodies. They're doing the proper exercises. They're doing the proper routines to make them better. They're doing it 6 hours a day and 8 hours a day and 10 hours a day because they're so passionate about winning. I want to ask you, how passionate are you in your Christian life to live excellent? They're doing it to receive a perishable, but we who do what? We who are exercising self-control in all things, we're making the right choices through self-control and through knowledge, but we are looking for an imperishable wreath. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Does he say? I look at these games, Paul says, and I see these athletes, and they are world stellar class athletes. They're the best at their field. And why? It's because they practice self-control in all things. They do it to win the prize. That's what it means to participate with our great God. Being the men and women God's called us to be in this life. I want you to bow with me in prayer. I want to ask the question. What sin, what entanglement, what thing in your heart that you just know that you got to lay aside today? Are you enduring today? Are you practicing self-control? Are you living life in an excellent way, in an excellent manner? How are you pursuing the race today? Are you outfitting your faith, supplying these 7 qualities that we'll finish up next week on? We add to our faith. We do our part. You may be here today and you might say, you know what, I'm convicted today because I'm not being a part of this. I've just been stubborn. I've just been doing my own thing. I've been living after the flesh. And I know that God's called me. I know that God has a plan for my life. I know that He wants me to partake in the divine nature. And I've just not done that. And I want to become partakers of the divine nature. I want to supply to my faith. I want to be the chorus leader of my faith, these qualities. God, I just want to pray right now that we'd outfit our faith, that we'd run in such a way to win, that God, that we would become all that You've called us to become.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on